What a very interesting day we find ourselves on today, the day of Lag BaOmer. It's interesting for so many reasons. One of the aspects of the day, none of the aspects of the day do I consider myself to be an expert in understanding. One of them, certainly the mystical, mysterious aspect of the day, is not really what I have background in. Haven't done a lot of study of it. But since it is Lag BaOmer, I thought I would try to just speak a little bit about some of the things running through my mind on this day, at least to my limited understanding of some of the aspects of the day. So the thing that's rather dramatic and I guess maybe a little strange is the issue of all these fires, right? In Israel, everybody makes these massive fires. I heard someone say the other day that probably the way the custom of the fires developed was that since we have a tradition that it's the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so when a lot of people got together to observe the yahrzeit, a lot of people lit candles together in one place, so it ended up being a lot of candles, so gradually that turned into a fire. But maybe we could try to talk a little bit about what's this custom, right? We believe that if the Jewish people, there's so many thousands of people doing this, there's got to be some reason for it. What's the idea? We also have a tradition, if I would call that the mystical and mysterious tradition of Lag BaOmer, the fact that we have a tradition that it's the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. It's the day also that there's a tradition that Rav Shimon Yochai revealed a lot of the secrets of the Zohar on the day that he passed away, before he passed away, or finished revealing the secrets of the Zohar, or maybe not the actual Zohar, but the foundation, the ideas that were the foundation of the Zohar. So that's more the mystical and mysterious aspect of the day, and the, let's call it, for the purposes of my talk this morning, the more revealed and aspect of the day, this that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and that the Gemara seem to talk about, is also we have this tradition that the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying on this day. So we've been in mourning for the last couple of weeks over the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, for which the Gemara says, the Gemara Masech the Yavama says, Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh, that they didn't have the appropriate respect one for the other. And somehow it was such a dramatic problem that the students had to, there was a plague that they had to be killed because of this. So somehow that plague ended or didn't happen on this special day of Lag BaOmer. So you have these two themes that come together on this day. One, a more revealed, understandable, clear, even that is not so understandable and clear. There's a lot of different opinions. Did they really stop dying then? You know, different opinions. That's why we have the different minhagim of Sfira. When were they dying? Did they just take a break or did they finish dying? All kinds of opinions. But that's the more, you know, prevalent theme of the day. And then you have this mystical background of the day of the death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the revelation of the Zohar and the mystical connotation of the day and the fire somehow symbolizing this mystical, mysterious connotation. So, like I say, I don't have deep knowledge or understanding, but just on a simple level, things to think about. I wouldn't say thoughts about Lag BaOmer. I'm just saying things that I'm thinking about on Lag BaOmer. Things that I think that make sense to think about today. So it would seem, especially if you juxtapose these two, because you know that the 24,000 students that Rabbi Akiva taught who passed away, that was the first students that he taught. And then when he lost everything and lost all his students, Rabbi Akiva then taught another five students. He had another five students who taught, one of them being Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed this mysterious, hidden dimension of the Torah that didn't exist before. So there seemed to be something in the first transmission that didn't go well, that went well in the second transmission. If we want to try to connect the two things together, there's something that didn't go right in the first transmission. So perhaps on a very basic level, we can understand something along the following lines. I mean, when I was in yeshiva, so my Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, used to say all the time, he taught us, the advice that he would give us is, he would say, you should learn Nigla during the week, and on Shabbos you should learn Nister. Which I think what he means is, you know, during the week, that's the time for learning Nigla. His tradition from his Rabbeim, Rav Huttner, and others, was during the week you should learn Shas, Gemara, Halacha, Poskim, Mishnayis, the Torah Sanigla. But on Shabbos, he thought a person should spend more time. That's why the rabbis traditionally, when they give drushas in shul on Shabbos, they don't talk so much about halacha. They don't talk as much about halacha, generally speaking, because Shabbos is a time to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe in a little bit of a deeper way than we connect the rest of the week. Shabbos, that's what means that we have a neshama yaseira. There are sources in Chazal that say we're more spiritual on Shabbos. There's, you know, me'ein olam haba. Shabbos, as we've talked in this space, we've talked about how Shabbos is an open door to olam haba. So it's a time to learn the more hidden aspects of Torah. That's why Rabbi Blachman, he told us that his advice to us was that, you know, your first year that you're getting into learning, so on Shabbos you should read Ramban al Torah. I think I taught you that. I told you he felt it's very important to read Ramban al Torah. I mentioned the other week that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was a very big chassid of the Ramban al Torah. Ramban al Torah, the Ramban's commentary, and then he said the next year you should read the Drushas Haran, he thought. That's a Rishon who wrote also Drushos on the themes of the Hashkafas HaTorah. When you talk about the Hashkafas HaTorah, you're already digging a little bit deeper into that area of Torah that's a little more hidden, that's Nistar, that's... And then he thought the next year you should learn the Sefer HaIkrim. Rav Yosef Albo wrote a book called Sefer HaIkrim, Principles and Fundamentals. And the fourth year he thought you should learn Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He thought that those four books would give a person the fundamentals. Again, till you're 40, you're not supposed to learn Kabbalah. I don't know what my excuse is. I'm past 40, but I'm still not learning Kabbalah. But at least the beginnings of understanding the hidden themes of Torah, the mystery of the mysterious aspects of Torah, Torah Sanistar. And the meat and potatoes of being a Jew, is practicing the mitzvos, is learning the Torah Sanigla. That's Shas and Poskim. That's the meat and potatoes of Talmud Torah, and that's the meat and potatoes of being a Jew. But we should be aware of the fact that that's not all it's about. It's not just about performance of mitzvos, rote performance of mitzvos, and just learning halacha and the revealed portions of Torah. Apparently, and maybe one could argue that this was along the lines of what the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't fully assimilate, and I'll try to explain it. Again, my own idea. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's my own limited understanding. If the meat and potatoes of being a Jew is the Torah Sanigla, then the soul of being a Jew, there's also another aspect. The soul of being a Jew is the Torah Sanistar. And, you know, just generally speaking, you could understand how, you know, the Litvaks and the more Litvish community, they have emphasized more the Torah Sanigla. And the Hasidish community has emphasized more the Torah Sanistar. So I believe, my Rabbeim have taught me, it's not that the Litvaks are correct or the Hasidim are correct, but both aspects of Torah are important. There has to be balance, right? 6 days a week you work on the Torah Sanigla, and one day a week you're supposed to try to think about those themes that are more hidden. And I'd like to tell you one piece of Torah that I think highlights, I think I probably said it over here, came also from Rav Lachman, one piece of Torah that highlights this duality between the Torah Hanigla and the Torah Hanistar. There's a Ramban ala Torah, of course, the Ramban ala Torah. The Ramban says that the reason why we have a klal in the Gemara that's asei do kalos asei, that if you have a certain situations where a mitzvah asei is going to cause you, performing a mitzvah asei is going to cause you to violate a mitzvah lo asei, so the Gemara under certain circumstances says asei do kalos asei, that the mitzvah asei pushes away the violation of the lo asei. One example that the Gemara has is that if you're wearing shatnas and your tzitzis, so the Gemara says that the mitzvah saseh of wearing tchelas and having that on your tzitzis pushes away the lo saseh of lo yilbash shatnas, that you shouldn't wear shatnas, right? So for the Ramban, it has a lengthy explanation, and then he starts talking mysteries. He starts talking al pi the soda kabbalah, and he basically says that the reason why asei do chalos asei is because when you serve Hashem through mitzvah asei, you're serving Hashem through avas Hashem, through love of God. And when you're abstaining from violating a los asei, you're serving God through yiras Hashem. And we all know that serving God through ava is a higher madrega, a higher level of serving God through yira. And that's why the Ramban says asei is do chalos asei. So says the Ramban. So what did I get out of that? What did my Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, teach me from this Ramban? So aside from learning something about Asei Do Chalos Asei, which I'm not sure I understand, but what I do understand from this is when the Ramban says that the shorish of all mitzvos Asei is Avas Hashem, and the shorish of all mitzvos Los Asei is Yiras Hashem. That is a very deep limud. That's a very deep teaching. What that teaching means is that every single time a person puts on tefillin, every single time a person shakes a lulav, every single time a person does any mitzvah saseh, aside from the strict, dry performance of the mitzvah, what we'll call the Torah hanigla of the mitzvah, that you have to do it, right? We believe that all the mitzvah Torah we have an obligation to do, and we certainly have an obligation to do all the mitzvahs, but there's something else that's supposed to happen when you do the mitzvah. Your Avas Hashem is supposed to be changed. Your Avas Hashem, and the more a person on Shabbos sensitizes himself to the Torah HaNistar, to the relationship building with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's supposed to happen through Torah, which a lot of these ideas are discussed in Ramban Al HaTorah, is discussed in the Zohar, is discussed in Hasidish HaSvarim, is discussed in what we'll call, broadly speaking, the Torah HaNistar. If a person doesn't sensitize himself to those ideas, he's going to put on the dry mitzvah of tefillin, but he's going to be missing out on the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's supposed to be created. The Avas Hashem that's supposed to be, because when you love somebody, you do what they want you to do. So the Ramban is teaching us that the yesod of all mitzvahs to say is Avas Hashem means that out of the performance of all the mitzvahs to say, a person is supposed to, it goes in both directions. You're supposed to have Ava before you do the mitzvah, but the Ava also causes, when you do something for someone just because you love that person, it's so doing something for them creates more Ava, creates more love. So in addition to just performing mitzvahs for Hashem, there's supposed to be a connection with Hashem that's strengthened when you do those mitzvahs. And when you abstain from doing los aseis, when you really, really want to commit an avera, and just for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say, Hashem said, I'm not supposed to do this avera, I'm going to abstain from it. So your relationship with Hashem via Yiras Hashem should be strengthened. And if you become sensitized to this by learning certain svarim that help you develop more of a relationship, so the mitzvos will mean more to you. What you can get out of them, relationship building with Hashem, will come out more if you're more sensitive and you sometimes read from these other svarim as well. Now, what's fire? What is fire? So we have a pasuk that teaches us, Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. What is God's candle? The pasuk says, God's candle is man's soul. Man's soul is God's candle. Every Jew has a soul, and every Jew's soul is Hashem's candle. The fire of Lag BaOmer, L'chora, represents man's soul, man's neshama. It represents perhaps the soul of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which went back up to its maker. It represents also the soul of Torah, namely the Zohar, namely that aspect of the Torah that is the more hidden aspect, just like the soul of man is that aspect of man that you don't see, it's hidden inside man. So too, the soul of Torah is that aspect of Torah that's hidden. And it is expressed symbolically in fire, in light. So that's one of the reasons why people light fires on Lag BaOmer, because the fire is supposed to symbolize the soul of Torah, the hidden part of Torah that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed on Lag BaOmer. But perhaps we could also understand it, connecting it to the other aspect of Lag BaOmer as follows. That, because one of the ideas, and perhaps one of the things that the students of Rabbi Akiva didn't appreciate, because they didn't appreciate, perhaps one could say, they didn't appreciate the hidden aspects of Torah, this also led them not to appreciate those Jews who weren't as holy as them. And maybe the idea that one's supposed to respect every single Jew, whether they have Torah in them or don't have Torah in them, and sometimes when a person fills himself up with Torah, so people who aren't filled with Torah, you tend to look down on and not to have that respect for them. And if every person would realize that every Jew has a neshama tahora, that every Jew is part of Klal Yisrael, that every Jew has a soul, and some Jews cover over their neshama tahora with layers and layers and layers of schmutz, with layers of sin and distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it behooves every Jew to have that appropriate respect for every person, to respect the soul of every person. So maybe in this way there's a connection between the two themes, the Litvisha Lag BaOmer and the Hasidish Lag BaOmer. Maybe they have a little bit of a connection, in the sense that a person who can look at a Jew and see a soul could also look at Torah and look at mitzvos and see that the Torah and mitzvos also has a soul, has a hidden aspect to them. So maybe that's the connection. That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai understood that every Jew has a soul because he was able to look at Torah not only just for the external part of Torah, but to see the hidden and mysterious aspects of Torah too. So he was able to look at every single Jew and see. And that's why now you see the people who go celebrate the yard site of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is every single type of Jew, from the totally non-observant to the totally. That's why, because the Torah's Hanistar has reached out and has grabbed every single type of Jew. Jews who know a lot and Jews who know very, very little. Which makes the Torah's Hanistar dangerous also. Because when the Torah's Hanistar is in the hands of people who don't also know the Torah's Hanigla, it can become very, very distorted. And it could become abused for a person's own privilege. And sometimes people get so drunk, like we spoke about by Nadav and Aviyu, people could get so drunk with the Torah's Hanistar that they don't limit themselves. They go into the Kodesh HaKadashim when they're not supposed to. As a matter of fact, that my Rebbe, Rav Mendel Blachman, he thought that the Aveira of Nadav and Aviyu, he thought that was exactly their sin. When they got Shesuye Yayin, they started delving, so they got so carried away with trying to study the Sodos of the Torah's Hanistar that they just ran screaming into the Kodesh HaKadashim with the fire, because they got so excited about their Torah's Hanistar that was their sin. That's how he puts all the opinions of what the sin were together in one child. And he even once suggested that the Gemara that says, Come Rabba V'Shachtei L'Rab Zera, that on Purim, it means that Rabbah had big kelim to understand the Torah Sanistar, and Rab Zeira, who was called Zeira, he only had small kelim to understand the Torah Sanistar, and they were engaged in a discussion about the deep, darkest secrets, and Rab Zeira collapsed because he couldn't handle it. Anyway, not the time now. So what's the lesson for us in all this? So I think, la'anivas daiti, to my very limited understanding. So I think that the lessons for us is to respect every Jew. That's the lesson from the students of Rabbi Akiva. But it's also to appreciate not just the performance of mitzvos, but the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's supposed to come out of your doing mitzvos. That the yesod of all mitzvos haseh is ava. And if you put on tefillin in the morning, and your avas Hashem is not affected by your putting on tefillin in the morning, then you're not putting on tefillin the right way. And if you abstain from averos, and your yiras Hashem is not affected, you're not doing it. That's also, that's on our very limited level. We're not going to study Zohar, I hope. Not for a while. Not till you're 40. You're not going to study Zohar, and even then, with great caution. I think Mar talks about the Arba Shenichnasu Lepardes, and it got burned. People who tried to study Zohar, they didn't have the proper tools. They got burned, literally. Nadav Naviyu literally got burned, right? So we have to do it with in measure. But we should understand that there are secrets to the Torah. There is a Torah Sanistar. There is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's supposed to come out of the mitzvos. And hopefully we should discover it until that time when we'll once again be reunited with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and all the secrets of the Torah will be revealed to everybody. May that day come. Hear me, Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.